Amen. God is good. I'm so thankful and glad to be here this morning, as we all should be, because we realize how good God is. When we saw the cracking of dawn this morning, you know that you were brought through the night and into a new morning, so therefore you should be glad. We're so glad to see all of you this morning. And before I get too much farther, let me just say to Brother Harris and Brother Beck, who tried and did their best to bring us messages on the last 2 weeks, and we're so thankful to them. Thanks. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Brother Beck. And now, before we go very much farther, let us go to God in prayer. Oh Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed this morning because you have given us another opportunity to see a brand new day. You have given us this opportunity to come out to your house this morning and be a part of the services that we render unto you, O Lord. We pray that we will render them in spirit and in truth, because that's the way we need to worship you, in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for all you do for us. I pray this morning for the leaders of this congregation. Pray for the members of this congregation and all their family members. We pray and ask you, Lord, for the mercy, to have mercy upon the sick and the shut in, especially those who are members of the household of faith. We pray and thank you, Lord, for those who have lost loved ones. We just pray that you give them the strength to stand up and bear up to what you have given them and be and accept it, because it is your will. Thank you, Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we say thank you for the churches of Christ all over the world, especially those who stand and hold up the bloodstained banner of Christ, we thank you, Father. We thank you for Jesus Christ, of whom you sent down to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have the right to the tree of life. Thank you, Father. Father in heaven, we're so very grateful to parents everywhere, and we just know that some parents have a tougher job than others. But Father, we pray that you bless them and grant them the knowledge and the wisdom to raise their children up in the admonition of you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, our cities and our states and our country is in trouble today, but we know that you're the only one who can handle and relieve us of all these problems that we're having. Thank you, Father, and help us to get through this world as you have placed us in, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for everything you do for us, and it's in the name of Jesus we ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning we're going to talk about questions concerning the new birth. And that's from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. We'll revisit the scriptures momentarily. Oh, and I may as well say this. I know the church seems empty this morning, but you know what? You are here and I am here. So we ought to be thankful to God that he brought us here, and let the rest take care of itself. So be thankful that God has seen fit to allow you to be here. Each and every time one reads God's word, they may come up with questions concerning what they read. Some may be perplexing, while others simply require further study. Still others may be answered with the help of other people. Questions such as, what was the forbidden fruit that Adam and Eve ate? So my answer to that would be, what does it matter anyhow? Another question I've heard asked is, where did Cain get his wife? Yet another one I've heard is that in John 8 and 6, what did Jesus write on the ground when he stooped down? None of these make any difference to your soul's salvation. My suggestion is that we live so that we may ask these questions when we get to heaven. Some of us need to concentrate on the things that are given to us, obey and not seek the answer to things that have nothing to do with our salvation. The answers that help us to save our souls are given to us in His Word. Let us look at the answers given by Jesus when Nicodemus asked an important question. In verse number 4, look at verse number 4 of our text in John chapter 3. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered that in the next verse. But we'll seek that answer and we'll hear that answer shortly. But question number 1, somebody may ask, what is the new birth? It's the beginning of a new life. Why? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." In other words, not only will you have a new name, Christian, but also your heart will be made new by our new nature. Our nature will be new. Old practices and principles and things will be passed away, for we are given all things new. God is able to fix the old heart that one lived with before being born again. Now, I don't mean that old fleshly heart that pumps blood throughout your body. I mean the heart of your mind. Watch Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, I believe it is. "A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a new heart of flesh." God is talking about the new nature. When you become a new person, God will give you a new heart. God has been in the heart exchange business long before man was, and Jesus is still doing the same thing today. He gives us, when we are born again, a new relationship with Him, with Himself. No longer are we strangers, as in Ephesians 2 and verse 19. We are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The new birth changes our position. We become lively stones, according to 1 Peter 2 and 5, and it puts us on the road to a new place. We give up the power of darkness and become translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, Colossians 1, 13. Question number 2. Somebody may ask or may want to know the answer to why we must be born again. Well, we could probably come up with several reasons why, but the most important reason can be found in verse number 7 of the text. Let us look at verse number 7 of the text. "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." In other words, Jesus said, we must be born again. You see, that's the most important reason of all. That should sign and seal the whole matter. When we compare man's version of versus Jesus' version of life, we get a better understanding of who should be the most important in our lives. You see, man can cause our lives to be more convenient for us, but they cannot give eternal life. Men can build fast cars, but they can and won't get us to heaven. Many of us have been on airplanes floating around 40,000 feet above the earth, but it's still not heaven. Men can manufacture gadgets to make our lives more convenient for us, but he cannot build a heaven for us, That's already been created according to Genesis 1 and 1. And besides that, even if he could, where would he put it? Man can cause a person to become cured of sickness and diseases, but man still has to die. No matter how long he is on this earth, he shall come to die. So the bottom line is this: we must be born of water and of the Spirit. Jesus is the only way to have spiritual life. And you want to see the power of sin in our lives? The Bible tells us in Ephesians, we were dead in sin and trespasses, but Jesus is able to save us by us coming to him. This is why we must be born again. And the only way for us to do this is to be born again, is to watch what the Bible tells us. We speak on it all the time when we need to come to Jesus, that we might live after death. But this is the only way to live with God the Father and the Son and the Spirit in heaven. Now, I go back to verse number 5 where Jesus answered the question that we raised, that Nicodemus raised. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So the third question that you may have this morning is how to be born again. Well, as much as I agree with people getting an education, I think education is a very important aspect of one's life. But education won't cause one to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. A master's degree won't automatically get one into the kingdom, nor will a PhD, but the water and the Spirit will. Not even our works can save us. Only through the gift of God can we be saved and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I may as well tell you that this business of being born again is some serious business. It means we are turning our lives over to God. And once we have become involved with God, our lives will never be the same again. Or we may look the same. We may even walk the same, except spiritually speaking, we will be walking with God. We may learn to forgive someone that you have been holding a grudge against for a long time once you become born again. You should even learn to love those you once couldn't stand. You may come to accept what Philippians 1 and 2 teaches us, that we all be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. But I may as well tell you, to be truthful with you, there are some side effects of being born again. It may cause one to want to read the Word of God more often. It may cause you to want to come to the church house more often. Maybe even early on Sunday morning you might get here. And perhaps even attend the weekly Bible class. This is just some of the side effects. It may cause you to love your neighbor. It may even cause you, more importantly, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. It may cause you to help others to come to God. These are good side effects. You know how when the doctor gives us medication, sometimes the side effects are worse than the relief that they are supposed to give us. But with being born again, the side effects are good for us. They are to make us a better person. They are to help make us and mold us into a Christian, one who loves the Lord. So look at the text as I read through the text once again. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus becomes a little perplexed here now. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, the Bible explains everything it tells us that we need to know. The Bible gives us answers to what we need to know. When you read your Bible, sometimes questions arise. A question may come into your mind is, what really did God say? What did he really mean in the Word of God? That's why an important reason you can use the telephone. Pick up the phone and call somebody and ask somebody. Ask somebody to help you understand the Word of God if you don't understand it. Now, I say to you this morning, there's always somebody in the church house who knows a little bit more than you do. And I'm not saying that anybody is dumb or anything, but there's always somebody who knows a little bit more. So pick up the phone, call them, and ask them to explain John this or John that or Matthew this or Matthew that. Help me to understand it. You know, the only shame is not asking for help when you need help. There's no shame in asking for help itself. So Nicodemus questioned Jesus. He asked him, how can I, now that I'm old? You realize that age plays an important role in all of our lives. He said, how can I, if I'm old already, go back into my mother's womb again? Jesus explained that to him. Explained it to him in verse number 4 again. He said, Nicodemus, verse number 5, I'm sorry. Most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Jesus explained to him how that he wasn't talking about going back into his mother's womb. He wasn't talking about being born into the world all over again. He was talking about a spiritual rebirth, a spiritual new birth, a new birth of the Spirit. Now, somebody may ask this question this morning. I was a child, and my brother told me I needed to get baptized. So do I need to be baptized again? Well, it all depends. It depends on what you were baptized for when you were baptized. Did you realize what was going on? Or did you just do something because your mother told you to do it? And I know many people who got baptized at a young age because they thought that's what their parents wanted them to do. They did things like sit on the mourner's bench. Now, some of you may not be familiar with that term, but that's a southern term, I believe. That sit on the mourner's bench, and then you wait for the movement of the Spirit, they say. But I'll tell you something. Jesus didn't tell Nicodemus to do that. He said he must be born again. He didn't tell him to sit on no mourner's bench. He didn't tell him to do anything like that. He told him you must be born of water and of the Spirit. So that's what we need to do, to be born of the water and the Spirit. And I know most of you in here this morning, as I survey the audience, have already been baptized and have become connected with Christ. But if you have not, you're going to get an opportunity very shortly to be baptized if you haven't been. So I'm asking this morning, I got a few more minutes, I'm asking this morning to think and pray upon what you need to do. If you've never been born again, you need to be born again. Just like Jesus explained to Nicodemus, you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And I'll tell you another thing, too. When you become a Christian, when you get connected to Christ, and all things become new after being baptized, you've got a new outlook on life, or you should have a new outlook on life. You think new. You walk new. Oh, your steps will be the same, but you'll come spiritually to God. You'll walk with God spiritually. And so, as I bring this message to a close this morning, I found some things that I need to bring out before you. Some things like the devil is busy. He's always busy. And he'll reach out and touch you if you're not careful. And if he reaches out and touch you, you got a problem on your hand. And when you got a problem on your hand, you need to have a problem solver. Now, the computer won't solve every problem that you've got. The computer has got its limitation. See, a computer, as great as they are, they can only put out what's been put into them. And if you haven't programmed something into them, it's not going to put anything out to you. And when you sit down at your computer, and some folk probably need to get up from the computer a little bit, but when you sit down at your computer, you need to learn what I need to do this or what I need to do that. But don't expect that computer to be so smart that it's going to relate to your individual situation unless you put it in there. And what are you talking about, preacher? Well, simply stated, the computer can't tell you how much money you have in your pocket. It can give you your bank account information, but it can't tell you how much money you got in your pocket on your presence. Now, the computer can tell you how to fix a menu to serve dinner with, but it can't tell you if you got that menu in your refrigerator. Now, the computer can tell you what the weather is like outside. But God is the ultimate one that's approach for the weather. Because the computer will tell you it's going to stop raining in 10 minutes. But God may say, I'm going to let it rain for a while. He did it before. He let it rain for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'll tell you something. We can't beat God at doing what he does best. We can never beat God at doing what he does best. Now, when I think about it, the Bible teaches me that give and you shall be received, pressed down and put, what is it? Pressed down and shaken and good measures. That's right. I know what I'm talking about. I just don't have it in my head right now. Things come to us by stages. And that wasn't the stage for me to be in at that time. So all I'm saying is that if you want to trust in somebody, you learn to trust in God. And he'll make everything all right. Now, I'm trusting in God that perhaps next Sunday the church will be fuller. I'm going to trust in the Lord to make it so. I'm going to trust in the Lord that somebody recognizes the fact that it's Sunday morning and I need to get up and head out of here to get to the Lord's house. I'm going to trust in the Lord that somehow, some way, he'll make it all right. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my soul and my heart that everything is going to work out for the best. And if something happens along the way, I'm still going to trust in him. I'm going to walk with him. And even sometimes your walk gets gated, but you still walk with him. Sometimes you don't understand what's going on in your life, but you still walk and trust in him. I'm going to trust in him upon my dying bed, whenever that may be, that the Lord will make a way. Because he will. I'm going to trust in him on my sick bed, that he will make a way, because I know he will. Because God can fix anything. When the doctor said, no, I can't do anymore, God can take over and fix it and make it all right. That's why we need to be born again, because we need somebody to trust in. We need someone to be there for us. We need someone to be there when we need them. And there's not a friend like a friend we have in Jesus. Now I say to you this morning, although my message was short this morning, I know I'm finishing earlier. My message was short. The point should be taken that we need to make sure that we're born again of the water and of the Spirit. We need to understand that God didn't put nothing in his Bible that he didn't want us to know. Everything in the Bible is put there for a reason. You may not understand it, but he wanted us to know it, so he put it there. He inspired the writers of the Bible to put it in there. And God is all right this morning. God is all right. If you're hungry, he can fix you a meal and fill you up. If you're sick or can't walk, he can make you to walk again. If you can't see, he can even make you see again. God is all right. I need somebody to just say amen this morning, because I know that God is all right. He's all right in the early morning hours. He's all right in the late wee hours of the night. He's all right. He's all right 24/7. God is all right. When we walk with him spiritually, we can have a friend like no other friend in the world. I tell you something about God. God was here long before any one of us was. God will be here after we are. God will be here while we are. God will be here. And if you want to share your life with him, you come to him by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Now somebody might say, well, when I was a child, again, my mother and my father told me I needed to get baptized. Well, I'm so glad this morning that they told you that, but did you understand the reason for your baptism? If you didn't, you need to rethink. And if you did already was already baptized, but somewhere you walked astray, you need to come to God and ask him to forgive you of your shortcoming and start over again. Come before the church, ask the church to pray with you and pray for you that you may gather strength, that you may walk straight up. The path that we walk is narrow. But sometimes we need to understand that God is able to fix the path for us so that it becomes right for us to walk on. So if there's anyone this morning who feel the need to come to God, you can do so as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.